Gregory bravely sacrificed himself to become the ship's rudder.
I think that's false.
Oh, Master Splinter's super toads mad.
But yes! Yeah. Yeah!
Two broomsticks at the same time.
Expecto Patronum! You'll never amount to anything!
Completely false.
If it was Andy's Girthy Candy, there's no way they'd ever change that name.
So, wait, is it goblins? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, this one is true!
I am chocolate.
And the theme of today's podcast is...
Wait, are we still in the intro?
Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Allegedly Podcast, where me and my co-host get a mystery topic coupled with some mystery facts, and it's our job to figure out which facts are real and which facts are fake. My name is Alex, and with us always is Joe.
Everybody, yeah, rock your body, yeah, Backstreet's back, ow.
Damn. Were you Backstreet Boy, or were you an NSYNC guy?
I was honestly more of a Backstreet Boy guy. They had they had that music video where they're all dressed up as like Universal Monster characters.
Yeah, that one was pretty legit.
I wasn't really a boy band person, but I do remember for like a brief second, like Backstreet Boys are better.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think NSYNC was pretty good, but they had more of like a silver tone flash to them, like silver jumpsuit look, whereas like Backstreet Boys had like the industrial look.
I remember a lot of Justin Timberlake trying to rap.
Yeah.
And it just...
I mean, look, if we're going to split hairs...
I love me JT, but I don't know who was like, you should rap in B-box.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tootle Me was good at it.
If we're going to bring Sexy back, though, let's be honest. It's all about them Spice Girls.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a Spice Girl for every occasion. You know,
I was way more into the Spice Girls than I was any boy band.
Oh yeah, they were awesome,
dude. Spice World, spice up your life, dude. Let's fucking roll.
I actually watched the movie quite a bit as a kid.
I remember loving that movie. I haven't seen it in decades, but I watched that movie multiple times.
Well, spice up your life, Joe.
Dude, wasn't there aliens in that fucking movie?
Dude, like, I think everything was in that movie.
Legit space. Like, I remember at one point they jump London Bridge and it cuts to a model bus. And it reminded me of like videos we used to make.
Yes.
That's like probably in junior high.
Same budget. Same budget.
For real. I think the same amount of money went into it. I think they had slightly higher returns though.
Well, so we got a podcast topic, and I've been told we got to put on our big boy pants. Okay.
Yeah, I was told this, and unfortunately, I only brought my little girl pants to work today. So yep. I have a feeling the heavy lifting's going to be on your shoulders.
Yeah, we're going to learn some things today. Some emotions might get explored.
Might get a little sporty. Might get a little scary.
Maybe some spicy.
Maybe. I'm not above going a little posh.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, we might just, you know, go full baby. We'll see.
Okay, well, you know, as long as it's not ginger.
Oh, I was hoping you'd
to be fair, though, sure, hers is the only actual name of a spice, so.
Yeah, well, put your ginger spice pants on, because we got a doozy.
I brought, I got some allspice. Is that... And a little old spice. Is that good?
Perfect. One for each occasion. All right, dude. You ready for the topic?
Fuck yeah.
All right. So today's podcast topic is old news. So this is primary sourced from newspaper.com.
Sick. I guess my old spice will fit right in.
Fit right in, bro. Well, I mean, at that point, it would just be called Spice.
True. This is just Spice.
Young Spice.
Yeah. Contemporary Spice.
It says here, warning, may contain unsettling depictions of violence, racism, and sexism because, you know, history.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so viewer discretion, this might get a wild ride. You're going to have some gallows humor with us.
one might say it could get a little spicy.
We might pull a little dark doo-doo into this episode.
We might pull some clips in
the editing. Oh, let's get a little scary with these.
to be fair, Scary Spice was kind of my favorite.
Yeah, Scary Spice was cool. I think it was actually more of a Sporty Spice. But, you know.
She had that cool raspy voice.
She did. She's kind of like a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
God,
here
I
we
hope
go.
This whole thing's about Spice Girls.
Fact number one, Sporty Spice. Five facts for five Spice Girls.
Five Spice Girls. They're all elite. They all come from colonized India. Fuck.
It's all depressed. Each one of their backstories is super fucking depressing.
The Curry Wars, son of a bitch.
Yeah, they're Spice Girls. There's not a single living member. Oh, great. Oh, shit. All right, here we go. Are you ready, Joe?
Let's do it. Let's spice up.
Spice it up. Every boy and every girl. All right, here we go. Fact number one. February 24th, 1838, Ohio. And this is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The subtopic is on dispute resolution.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Says here, two convicts in an Ohio prison named Husky and Frazier were engaged in a dispute over the enormity of their crimes. Husky had been convicted of arson and Frazier of stealing horses. Each thought the other's crime was the worse one. So they're arguing who's the bigger piece of shit.
Sure.
Husky the arsonist contended that burning a mill was much more a gentlemanly crime than stealing a horse. Frazier, the horse thief, maintained the reverse and insisted upon the horrible villainy that must invite a man to burn his neighbor's house at midnight. So the question is, how did they determine who was right? Is it A, by accusing each other's mothers and sisters of horrid acts? B, by arguing their victim was more deserving asshole? Or C, they beat the shit out of each other?
I think we gotta go C.
It's C. Like, you and I have fought over smaller arguments.
A and B might have happened, but let's be real, it stopped at C.
They probably all happened.
Right.
Honestly,
they probably went in that order.
It's like escalation here. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, look, dude, your mom sucks dick. Well, your sister sucks dick. Then they're like, okay, but you're the bigger asshole. No, you're the bigger asshole. And then fists.
Hoot nanny, ho down. Hoot nanny, ho down.
Then it says, optional plus one bonus if you can guess who was right. God. Whoa. The writer's bringing in morality here.
Oh,
are we guessing
right?
Who was right based on a moral problem? Are we getting philosophical here?
No, this is a clean cut.
So who won the fight is what we're guessing.
I'm going to go with Husky.
I am too. Frazier's kind of a posh name. Husky's a little scary. Which way? Okay, wait. Husky was the mill burner,
yeah.
And Frazier was the horse thief.
I think if it came down to Dukes, I'm going to put money on Husky.
My name's Husky. I burned out my neighbor's mill.
Yeah,
but
I
fuck
mean,
that horse
also,
thief.
I mean, a person that's like, I like to watch things burn, you know, wild card action.
Yeah, they got a little bit of like, they probably sit there and like let the flame lick their hand a little too long. They're like, oh,
yeah, just a little
pain
bit.
Makes me feel alive, you know. The horse thief is probably just like, I had a problem and I solved it by stealing this guy's horse. Like,
right, yeah.
You know,
I
once
needed
played,
a horse,
yeah.
So I stole one.
One's played by like Michael Clark Duncan. The other, the horse thief's played by like Chris
Steve
Pratt.
Buscemi.
Who'd win that? Yeah, Steve Buscemi. Like, who's going to win that fight?
Yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan. I'll burn my house or my neighbor's house down. Land dispute. And then Steve Buscemi's like,
geez, guys. Hello, fellow inmates.
That's kind of a piece of shit thing to do, if I do say.
Hey, oh, what's with Cyclops?
I just think Michael Clark Duncan as Husky would just squish Frasier like a cartoonish, you know, flat disc. That would be that, dude.
I think that would be that, yeah.
Okay, so are we going C then?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because I think naturally it sounds like all three are just stepping stones to the next. But like, if we're gonna end one, I'd say C, and I think Husky was the winner on that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Husky. Unless it was an ironic name,
like Little John.
Yeah,
say hello to Little John. It's like Shaquille O'Neal.
Unless Husky's Steve Buscemi.
This is Husky.
No, wait. I lost some weight recently.
It's like Danny DeVito. All right, here we go. Then for fact number one, we're going to go see that they beat the shit out of each other to figure out who the bigger piece of shit was. And for the optional plus one bonus, we're going to say Husky took the victory. Sound good?
That sounds great.
All right. 3, 2, 1, boom. So answer number one, the contest waxed hotter and hotter until the representatives of the arson and horse stealing flew at each other and determined by blows the question they could not settle by words. Frasier was the victor, thus proving beyond all question that horse stealing is far more decent and respectable crime than arson. So you were right. See, they just beat the shit out of each other for science. We can finally move on to the age-old question of which crime is more gentlemanly. Well, Frasier took it. Well, so maybe Husky was the play on words. It was like Niles, you know?
Yeah, and yeah.
I think Frasier kicked the shit out of Niles.
I sure know Kelsey Grammer could beat the shit out of Price there.
I mean, let's be honest here. Like, he's got some history.
Let's be real. He's put that five head to use.
He has, like headbutting style and everything.
Let's be real.
All right, well, we fucking got it. But we didn't get the fucking bonus. Fucking Husky, dude.
Hey, look, you know, sometimes Husky's Michael Clark Duncan, and sometimes it's Steve Buscemi.
Not everybody can be Michael Clark Duncan. Sometimes you get the Steve Buscemi.
Yep.
Oh, shit. All right, here we go. Fact number two. July 1st, 1848, in Brooklyn, New York. This is from the Baltimore Sun.
Ooh.
The topic is on stalking.
Oh.
So here's the okay. Excerpt. It appeared that an old gentleman of highly respectable connections engaged in business in New York, but whose family resides in Rhode Island, became suddenly enamored with a beautiful young lady of that city, and forgetting his duty to his wife and children, began to make advances towards the fair one. And he had addressed several letters to her of a most ridiculous and offensive character. Although his advances were promptly repulsed, he persisted in his endeavors to win the lady's affections.
Oh boy.
And ventured to go to her house, where he was received by her brother, who gave him a severe lecture on the impropriety of his conduct. It kicked him out of the house. How does this story end?
Oh, goody.
Is it A, the old man persists, divorces his wife, and abandons his children? The brother respects the old man's determination and agrees to give him his sister.
Oh, God.
B, a huckster lawyer convinces the old man to sue the brother for assault. Old man's gross letters gets admitted into evidence. They are read aloud to the great amusement of the court. Or C, the old man accuses the girl of bewitching him. The whole town gets on board, blaming her for all their woes. A goat testifies at the trial, and she is convicted.
Oh, fuck.
It's C, right?
Oh, you know I want a goat testifying.
She has betwixt me. I was bamboozled.
Okay. I now call, and now the prosecution calls to the stand Black Peter.
Did you hear what he said?
The language.
Oh my god. He saw the letters getting written.
Objection. Objection. Clearly leading the witness with hay.
How do we know that the goat is an expert? I would like to cross-examine him to make sure that these claims are well-founded. Excuse me, sir. What makes you an expert of handwritten letters? The defense rests, Your Honor. We withdraw our complaint. He is an expert.
Clearly, this lady had it coming.
Yeah. We would like to withdraw the entire defense. This is clearly a case of witchcraft.
What year was this?
1848. The year of our Lord.
Jesu Christo?
Jesu Christo, 1848.
Oh, man. J-Town was just a lowercase J then.
Yeah, it definitely was. It's definitely. It has to be C. That's too much. It's fucking, like, some dude wants to go rail a chick, is married with kids. Like, he's definitely gonna be like, it was your breasts, Your Honor. She cast a spell on me. I am a well-standing, God-fearing man.
Look, they're perky. What do you want me to do?
They're as sweet as gumdrops in the shape of cherries, Your Honor. No... No God-made woman has a body like that. She was made by the devil.
Look at my wife. Saggy as the day is long.
God made that for sure. This is the work of the devil.
Look.
I think this is the story of how the Jersey Devil was made.
We all know the Jersey Devil has a pretty rad set of a pretty rad rack there,
dude. I'm not that kind of person, but the Jersey Devil does have, you know, some swagger on those hips, dude. So just saying, next time you see the Jersey Devil, just look at the hips. But it's definitely, it has to be seen, like. I mean, I think the worst case scenario is the brother turns away the old man and then actually buries his own sister. Like, that is the second possibility, but that's not an option here. I'm just thinking worst case scenario. She's burned at the stake is where this would end.
Order in the court. I have heard all the testimonies and would like to declare my verdict. Young lady, you are a perverse creation. And shall burn at the stake until all life leaves your body.
But we're only like 20 years away from the Civil War. Surely, surely we've gotten rid of these Neanderthal ways.
How else would you propose we deal with witchcraft?
Perhaps the old man should, take a hint.
What hint are you suggesting yet, good sir?
I'm just saying, I live in New York City, and he lives in Rhode Island, and, like came to my house at midnight.
How else do you explain a well-standing man with a wife and child leaving for this mistress?
Look,
witchcraft, clearly.
Look, I'm just saying, maybe it was his fault?
You know, here's the thing, dude. I'm convincing myself right now. I think the guy was in the right now. She's clearly a witch.
Look, we don't know both sides.
Yeah.
We don't know both sides. Maybe she was a witch.
You know, fun fact, all the frogs were gay around this witch's house. I mean, you don't need any more proof than that.
Her last name was Fluoride. Enough said, really.
Beatrice Fluoride. Chemtrails the third.
Fanny Fluoride.
Such a harlot. She probably entered this man's dreams and planted the idea
had the
of
gayest the gayest frogs in Bushwick.
One of the frogs hit on me. We have the next case coming up of Frog v. Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson claims he was bewitched by this woman into having sexual relations with a frog.
Look, have you ever seen Gremlins 2?
1848.
The frog was kind of hot.
Normally I say no, but there was swagger with that frog.
Look, she had Jersey Devil hips, if you know what I'm saying.
It was the look in her eye. She gave me a wink.
Oh, shit. All right, look, we're going to go see, right? Like, we're making a big thing, but...
You can't put a goat on the goddamn stand and not have us guess that.
Like, she either knows us too well, right? Or she's just...
Right.
Or history.
I was like, there's no way A happened.
Yeah, I know. No.
So... Yeah. Let's. I want to go with the goat one because that one seems funnier.
I mean, I think all these probably could have happened. Well, wait, no, not the huckster lawyer. That's too much embarrassment for a man.
Yeah,
you know, it'd more be like the huckster lawyer convinces him to sue the woman, and he wins, and the woman has to give him like all the house and have kids with him and shit. That's more accurate.
Mm.
All right, then let's go C for fact number two. Sounds good?
Indubitably. I don't know. Is that frog giving me the fuck me eyes?
I think that frog is giving me a little bit of side eye, if you know what I mean.
What I'm saying.
All right, here we go. We're going to go C for fact number two. 3, 2, 1. Oh, it's B.
Oh.
Oh, no. No, no goat.
No comedy gold for this episode.
For once, this actually turned out for the chick. Oh, wait. We have to read the whole thing. So, yeah. The answer is B. A huckster lawyer convinces the old man to sue the brother for assault. Old man's gross letters get admitted into evidence. They are read aloud to the great amusement of the court. Life pro tip, discovery is a bitch. Try to avoid suing the person who has all your pervious shit in writing, unless you want that part in public record. Before you hit send on that drunk text, just know there's a possibility it could end up on a podcast 175 years from now. Wow.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. What if, like, there's a podcast in like, 2022, and Joe, you sent some nasty shit to somebody, mm-hmm. and they're like, I was going through, or whatever the future robots would say, beep boop, going through internet, beep boop, look at this text message, beep boop, I want to fuck a gay frog, beep boop.
Look, I never said that, it's clearly a deep
fake. Beep boop, beep boop, oh, he got a response back, boop boop, I want to fuck a frog too, you ready for the podcast, beep boop.
Your Honor, ChatGPT. This is clearly a fabrication.
All rise for the Honorable ChatGPT.
It's just the Giga Chad.
The Giga Chat box. The Giga yeah. ChatGPT. Giga Chat. He's got a huge square jaw. He's like the robot from Futurama. Oh, yeah. Sit down. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So we got it wrong. I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little angry that the writer knows us so well.
God damn it. It's too good.
It's just proof that she could like easily throw in shit that's just such a bait and switch for us.
100%.
So I appreciate. She knows. She knows.
I was like, look, you give me that question 10 times in a row, I'm going to guess fucking go every time.
Every fucking time. Hoping that one time we're gonna get it.
Just one time put a goat on the stand.
hey, Joe here from Allegedly. Real quick, I want to tell you about this week's sponsor, Newsly. Newsly is an audio app for your iOS or Android that picks up the most trending articles from the topics that are most important to you, and here's the trick, reads them to you in a natural human voice. From the Batman to Bitcoin, Kiev to the Kardashians, follow any topic, your heart desires. And while you're there, go ahead and check out their featured podcasts from over 50 countries, like, say, I don't know, allegedly. I've been using it for over a week now, and I'm loving the convenience of having my news and podcasts all in one place. So come and join me by clicking the link in the description and downloading Newsly for free. As an added bonus, go ahead and use the promo code ALLEGEDLY and receive 1 month of their premium subscription for free. Stop scrolling and start listening. Okay, back to the show.
Shit. All right, here we go. Fact number three. The year is June 3rd, 1935.
Okay, all right.
The place?
Great Depression.
Hollywood, California.
Ooh.
The newspaper, the Tampa Tribune.
Okay.
Is there a Tampa, like, area in L.A.?
I don't think so.
So Tampa is writing about Hollywood.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, because the topic is dunking actresses.
Ooh.
Cast and crew.
Drunk actresses or dunking them?
Dunking. I know I read it wrong, but dunking actresses. So like witch trials, probably dunking them.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
So here we go.
Not for charity.
Come try to dunk Marilyn Monroe. Oh, shit. Okay, so it says, a cast and crew was on its way to Los Angeles Harbor to film sequences of We're in the Money. We left the studio at daylight and arrived at the harbor where a yacht was to take us on the unusually calm Pacific. The leading actress, Joan, was to be dunked like a donut. The script calls for three separate and different dunks. With retakes and all, she'll be in the water most of the day. How did the crew feel about the actress being dunked like a donut? I'm not even going to read it yet. Most of the cast and crew wanted to dunk her like a donut. That's my guess.
How do you dunk a donut? Like, was she
in like
coffee.
A
life preserver? Oh,
dip it in.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like cops, like Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I can tell you right now, with a name like Joan, I'd want to dunk her like a donut. So,
it's Joan Crawford, they all wanted to dunk her.
Yeah. So, here we go. Is it A, thrilled because wet clothes are more revealing and they might get to see some nip? B, terrified because they realized on the way there that none of them actually knows how to swim? Or C, trepidatious because she's a blonde and blondes don't dunk as easily as brunettes? Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
This is difficult.
I was like, A, because it's sexist, and C, no, because it's sexist.
Like, B is the funnier answer. Like, all right, guys, line up. All right, so we got the life preservers. We got medical staff on hand. We got the lifeguards. We got the cabin crew. Are everybody ready to go? Okay, put her in the holster. We're going to dunk her. Quick question. Who's the best swimmer here?
I can't swim.
You're the lifeguard.
That's what they said. I'm actually the driver. They said you were short staffed. It's kind of hard to get a job.
Does anybody know how to swim?
I'm going to be honest with you. Times are a little tough. We didn't know a boat was involved. We all came from the orange groves.
This is a union production and nobody knows how to swim.
We're all actually scabs? Orange Grove. I don't.
Craft table guy. Do you know how to swim?
No. Also, Orange Grove came from not. None of all of us were working on a farm.
Okay, really quick. PSA. PSA. Yes. I was being a little hard on non-union workers, but fun fact: the truth is, most non-union workers can't swim.
Also true. We drown. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. They're all pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. Just letting everybody know.
Huge piles.
They're weighted down by the fucking lead weight of how much shit they carry in their bodies.
It's from all that illegal money. All that immoral gains.
So I think... I do think. I don't know. This is tough. I have a feeling like not many people are going to admit that they're going to get boners in public because it's 1935. Like some newspaper person comes up and is like, how do you feel about dunking Joan into the lake?
Well, I can tell you what, that white clothes is going to be a little clingy. I'm going to have to make a lot of bathroom trips if you know what I mean.
I don't know. I think it was just ladies being sexual that they were afraid of, so.
Yeah. Well, and then the blondes thing, that one stands out to me, too. It's like look, guys, okay.
That also just seems like a shitty thing a reporter would say in the 30s. Like, just making a joke.
How did you
the ditzy blonde just will float to the top.
How did you overcome the challenges of dunking a fucking blonde?
Yeah, that just seems like, that just, yeah.
What budget did you have to pay your research department to find effective ways to dunk blondes?
How much did you have to weigh her down?
Where did you hide the lead weights? Because we all know blondes float. They're naturally more buoyant than
because
brunettes.
Because there's nothing in their heads. Did you have to suck all the air from her head in order to get her to go down?
Did you throw her another blonde to use as a flotation device?
Were you worried about her head snapping back for as the rest of her sank?
Did you, when you deployed the safety measures, did you leave the second blonde in the water for you to use constantly? Or did you fucking pull her out and dry her off too?
Look, did you just put a brunette in a blonde wig?
Did you ever consider on using a double, but a brunette double?
Right. Instead of a ditzy blonde, did you just use an iron-hearted brunette?
You used a ginger? How did she not melt in the water?
The water? Certainly she burst into flame the second she touched the ocean.
They don't sink or float. They just die. They have no souls when they touch the water. They're like a Dracula. They can't cross over bodies like of water. How'd you even get them on the boat?
They go to whatever heaven dogs go to.
Look, I'm just asking questions for the Tampa Tribune,
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this case about how you... How you drowned a blonde.
This is fascinating. You just put her in the water? Weird.
Weird. You didn't put a scratch and sniff at the bottom or nothing?
We didn't want her dead, sir. Next question. How'd you get her to go in the water? We told her there was shopping mall under the water. How did you get the actress to pay attention to the acting instead of wanting to spend her husband's money?
That's where the magic of editing comes in.
You see, we clip her out of the shopping mall and then into the ocean. She never touched water at all. I don't know. I really feel C.
It sounds like a shitty thing that they would say.
I mean, A is, it's not surprising. I think A is the secret thing.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's what everyone was hoping for.
They're like, look, have you seen this actress? Okay. Her clothes are clingy when they're dry.
Right.
Okay. I'm looking forward to, you know, bing bing, if you know what I mean. Like, water is cold. Get it? They're like, we don't get it.
We don't. We don't
obviously.
We don't know how the female body works.
Blondes are water resistant, sir. How would the water even get on her clothes?
I'm pretty sure blondes are more closely related to ducks.
It's really hard because you put a blonde in the water and she just skates on the surface.
She's like one of them weird running lizards in South America.
She just rolls on the surface.
I don't know how she does it in heels.
We have to go see now. We have to.
We have made too many jokes about it, yeah.
We've made too many jokes. So let's... You want to go see?
Do brunettes sing like a rock?
They sure do. All right, let's go see that trepidatious, because she's a blonde and blondes don't dunk as easily as brunettes. 3, 2, 1, bam! It is C! We did it! So, can I make an observation really quick?
Sure can.
How much experience do some of these crew members have with dunking women to the point where they have an opinion on which type of women is dunked better?
I think we don't want to know the answer to that.
I have dunked thousands of women in my time. Look. And I can tell you the ones that put up the most struggle to keep under the water, blondes.
Blondes. The mouthy ones.
They're the ones that are really hard to keep under. You gotta really try to dunk them. Dude, this guy that we're doing has a fucking wife beater shirt on, right? And like a mullet.
No, he's got a crew cut.
Crew cut.
And he's old. It's 1935. So yeah, it's a wife beater with the jeans pulled up to his belly button.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
And then like somehow still has a cigarette rolled up in his sleeve. Slick, greased up hair.
He has a cigarette in his ear.
You just throw him in the water, you see? Just keep him under there. You'll be fine. Right. It's funny because my hair is so greasy. I'm buoyant too, but nothing right. compared to these blondes.
You know what I'm talking about.
All right, here's what it says. Blondes don't like to be dunked. We'll probably have trouble driving to the 6 a.m. shoot. Actress Joan Blondell, that's his real name, is said to be passed out in the back of the car, having been required to attend a benefit late the night before and up 3 times in the night with her sick baby.
Oh,
now she was
God.
Now she was on her way to get dunked repeatedly in the Pacific Ocean. Limey, the proprietary boy, continues, "It's funny, but brunettes dunk much easier than blondes. Kay Francis, for instance, or Dolores Del Rio, they don't mind water a bit. Now Joan swims as well as either of those two, but she just doesn't like to be dunked. Well, we'll dunk her all right. It is in her contract or something. But she doesn't like it." The author asks why she needed to be dunked 3 times, and he replied, "Well, that's the scenarist's idea. She is chasing a guy to give him a subpoena or something. She follows him on his yacht on an outboard motor. It runs out of control, and she jumps overboard. That's one dunk. Then she serves a summons on Ross Alexander, and he pushes her in. That's 2 dunks. Then Ross feels sorry and goes after her. When he sees how pretty she is and tries to make love to her, he shoves her under, and that's 3 dunks?
Oh, my God.
The fuck?
How? Okay, so I don't think we were wrong. These people really did dunk hundreds of women.
Yes. In defense of the Ross, the actor, Limey adds, "But I don't think he likes it. As a matter of fact, I'll probably have to push her overboard myself the second time. Oh, blondes are like that. They just don't like to be dunked." What the fuck movie is this?
Why is there so much? It's overboard, right? Like,
but like a really violent overboard. It'd be like Kurt Russell in like 1938 and Goldie Hawn is serving him like papers. Like, "Excuse me, are you, you know, Ross so-and-so? Why, yes, doll. What do you need? Here, you're served." And he's like, "Get off my yacht, lady." And he just like kicks her off. And he's like, "No, oh, she might hit the motor. I feel bad." And he jumps off and he's like, "My God, you're hot."
"Oh, I can see your nips now. Why don't you come over here and give me a little sugar?
I didn't notice how hot you were until you're bobbing up and down like a buoy."
"I've never noticed how attracted I am to ladies who struggle swimming."
"My God, are you buoyant." "Go get me a dry martini. You're all wet." What the fuck? This is just like straight up a rape. Why would you dunk him after you like find out she's hot and you dunk her again? Like what? Okay, wait. She follows him on his yacht on an outboard motor. It runs out of control and she jumps overboard. Okay, so she jumps off or falls off, mm-hmm. right? It's just out of control. So that's one. Stupid women don't know how to stand on a boat. That's one dunk.
Yep.
Second dunk is the actor. She serves a summons to Ross Alexander and he pushes her in. Two dunks. He's like, dumb broad. Throws her over. Like, because that's just a normal reaction to a well-meaning human being is to throw somebody. Yeah. Throw somebody overboard after you get news that you don't like. Like, yeah. She's not even fucking the person, you know, doing the stuff. She's just serving him a paper. And he's like, you dumb broad. He, like,
you've
puts a cigarette out on her face.
Boat chase and swam under my boat. Look at you. You're getting the deck all wet.
If I didn't have half a mind, I'd dunk you a third time. So he throws her overboard. And then he feels sorry and goes in after her. When he sees how pretty she is, he tries to make love to her. He shoves her head under. That's three dunks. What's his goal? Is he trying to get her to blow him? Like, while he's rescuing her?
I mean, what? You've never heard of a post-rescue blowjob?
Why don't you say thank you, young lady?
It's customary in Toronto.
You know, the only human being that could get away with this would be what's his face from Rear Window.
Jimmy Stewart.
I say, you know, the blowjob is usually customary when a man jumps off a boat to save a woman.
Well, now just listen here, you ditzy blonde. Sure, I pushed you in, but I don't think a little blowy is too much to ask for.
Oh, it's hard for you to stay under the water? I don't think that's a problem at all.
Look, you just give it the old crazy eye.
Yeah. Look, I'll put two hands on top of your head and whoop, there you go.
I know you don't think you're very buoyant, but I'll get you down there.
Next time we'll dye your hair brunette. It'll make it easier. God.
Now, listen here. Sure, I put us in this situation, but I still say a thank you's in order.
Yeah, I know that you're a princess from your country trying to make a job out here to learn responsibility, but I'm gonna throw you over now.
Hey, I might not know everything, but I've heard what's customary in Toronto.
Canadian. I'm just a wartime photographer out here on this yacht that I own because I'm famous. You're a Toronto princess.
Sure, I may have overreacted a little, but how about an old-fashioned while you're out?
Princess, say hi to Neptune for me, will you? She's like, what? He pushes her off. Oh, she got the boat motor. Keep going, helmsman, quick. Oh, fuck. Well, we got it right. Oh, fuck. All right. You ready for fact number four?
Well, it looks like you're doing this whole thing wrong. You're supposed to stay on the boat.
You know, the funny fact, you might be able to speak from experience. You're pretty blonde yourself, Joe.
I am pretty blonde, yeah.
How? So when you fall off a boat, do you float easier than, like, you know, some of our other friends that are brunettes or, you know, darker hair?
Oh, I stay right at the top.
Yeah, I think you hit it like a fucking solid, don't you?
Yeah, it's the damnedest thing. Even when I go in at a dive, big old belly flop.
This is why we just don't swim with you, you know? Like, it's not swimming. You just, like, penguin across the top of the water.
It's why there's never been a blonde diver.
You would just die.
It would just, yeah. The Olympic Committee. There's been too much blood in the pool.
Yeah. Just pure illegal at this point. Yeah.
It's, whenever I went to the pool, I just had to stay on the kiddie side.
Oh, shit. All right, here we go. Fact Number four. The year is February 28th. Or I'm sorry. Let me try this again because I have to say the year first. The year of our Lord, 1891. February 28th. The paper is the Palkamines Protector.
Okay.
And then this is in Louisiana.
Palkamines Topic Protector.
Is, yeah. It's that sounds like a white supremacist paper, doesn't it? Like it's got a cross on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The T in Protector. The two T's in Protector have two crosses, right? Like that's what that is. So it says it's on American diversity.
Oh God.
Here, fucking buckle up. You thought getting rescue blowjobs was bad? Here we go. America is a nation of one people.
Oh boy.
But Americans can be quite diverse, uh-oh, especially depending on the region. Geographically, Americans will differ in looks, dialect, habits, and customs. For instance, the manner of handling an unruly wife is entirely different in Kansas from the way a man in Pennsylvania performs that difficult feat. And both will differ from the method used by a husband in Louisiana.
Oh,
match the state with their ascribed method of controlling an unruly wife, 1 point for each correct match.
Oh boy. Well, I gotta say.
So we got...
did not go the route I thought it was going, and I'm happy about that.
Oh, I'm sure there's a question in here. That's fact number five, most likely.
Right.
So here we go. So the three states are A, B, and C are Kansas, Pennsylvania, and Louisiana, just like in the article.
I love how it's, this is what shows our diversity, is how we handle an unruly wife.
How we abuse our wives totally is dependent on how you grow up in an area.
Yeah. Well, I know in Toronto, it's a thank you blowjob.
Well, out in Scotland, you just give them a slap across your face, you know. Sometimes they get the last word, and that's not enough.
Sometimes you give them the last word, and they just keep on yapping.
You just right across the mouth, you know. How was about a little post-interview blowjob? So here, which is unruly wife control method? There we go. Is it one, starve and silence her by removing and hiding her false teeth for a week or until the police show up? These are all legit, by the way. We're just matching these, okay?
Okay.
So none of these are false. We just have to match them.
Right.
So fuck, stealing her teeth. Two, leave and don't come back until the early morning hours because she'll be asleep and therefore not talking anymore. Or three, pick her up and give her a seat on a hot stove while delivering a one-liner about how you can make things hotter for her than she can for you. That is the Jimmy Stewart response. That has to be Louisiana.
That's a great line.
Ooh, Pennsylvania. You think that things are hot now? I can make them a lot hotter. She like throws fucking Madonna on a fucking hot plate.
Jimmy Stewart throws Madonna.
I don't know. I don't know when those actors happened, like what time frames they're from. I just assume they're old.
Oh man.
So, okay. So let's try to figure out. So Kansas. Mm. I feel Kansas is the teeth. Louisiana is the don't come back. Stay out all night.
Mm.
And then B, which is Pennsylvania, is the straight up scolding her on a hot surface.
See, I think because the paper's from Louisiana, I think Louisiana gets the hot plate because that one also has the zinger.
That's true.
And so I think this paper's a little biased. You get the one-liner in. And because Pennsylvania is northern, I say that's the one where you leave and come back when they're not talking. And then I agree with the Kansas being
Kansas is Lee. Or Kansas is the steal her teeth.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm in line with that. The Pelkamine's protector. They advocate put your wife on a hot plate cooker.
And like then, but like you got to give them the zinger, or else it just doesn't work.
Now, how about that post-abuse blowjob? Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. I can't think, you know, after Jimmy Stewart throwing somebody overboard, rescuing him, and then trying to force fellatio, right? Like, all of these are just horrific. And that somebody would put this in writing is even banana. Like, 1891, like, it just goes, like, 100 years down the road, we're just starting to figure out women are fucking humans. You know, like,
but you did it with a joke, Alex.
You think things are hot now?
Look, zing, dude.
It was a joke, honey. Okay, let's go to see the doctor.
It's your. Hey, look, we all know it's your fault. You put your hands down.
You shouldn't have braced yourself.
Yeah, I was just throwing you on a hot stove.
Look, if you didn't protect yourself with your hands, you wouldn't have gotten it burned.
Right? You'd merely be fixing your dress instead of costing us money.
You'd merely be just seaming up the burn marks in your dress. Now we have bloodstains everywhere. How does that make me feel?
You didn't even think about me in this, did you?
Now I have to go get...
Laundry doesn't sound so bad now, does it?
Now I have to go get the Enrique's Wonder Drug to wash all the blood out of the carpet. How does that feel for the family?
Look,
our kids were watching.
We're not going to have clean clothes or food for a good 6 weeks while you heal.
Oh, no, they're still going to have clean clothes and fresh meals. You're just going to be in a lot of pain. Make sure you don't bust those stitches.
I hope you know how to do it with your feet.
Good thing you're ambidextrous. God. You know what you do when a woman just gives you back talk? You fucking choke slam her through your stove. And then fellatio. Duh.
You go full blade two.
Full blade two, Ron Perlman style.
Slam them through a glass floor. You step out of your bloodbath. And you chokeslam them through a glass floor.
I think a good template with how you react to that is when Iron Man was fighting Hulk in Age of Ultron, and he just was pummeling Hulk, and he's just like, go to sleep, you know? That's how you deal with that with love.
That's how you deal with that.
You know? And then at the end of the night, as long as you didn't burn her face, she gets fellatio. Everybody wins.
God. I mean, flawless victory. I think we could write an article in the Daily Wire about this.
Oh, the Daily Wire. This is a progenitor, or Palchemy's protector is a progenitor to Daily Wire. Everybody knows that.
Did Matt Walsh used to write for the protector?
Matt Walsh is an immortal, just writing piece of shit articles throughout the years.
Look, just scald him a little.
Hello, my name is Matthew Walshington.
He's upgraded. He doesn't throw him on a hot stove anymore. He just throws hot coffee on him.
I'm really upset that I don't get to throw my wife into the ocean or a hot stove. Both of which would teach her a lesson. You know the hardest part about throwing your wife into the ocean? If she's a blonde, she doesn't bounce or she doesn't get dunked.
Look, that's why any good American man clearly marries a brunette. Easier to drown.
Way easier. Can attest.
In fact, sometimes I think they even like it. Unlike those blondes always complaining. Unlike
those unruly blondes.
Saying they don't like to be drowned in the Pacific Ocean.
Alright, are you ready? Are you ready to figure out which state is which?
Not really, but yeah.
Alright, so we have number one, silence her by removing her false teeth for a week. God, we didn't even touch on that one. The abuse took all the time. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Where are your teeth?
Look, I'm going to make you look deformed until you calm down.
Like, it's like, where are they hiding it? They're not hiding anywhere sanitary either.
Here you go. I was hiding it in the doghouse.
They're wearing them?
Yeah. They just have two.
I don't know.
It's a grave mystery.
Don't make me show you on the stove.
Maybe I hid him underneath the teapot.
I know it's hard to do the dishes because you're so buoyant, but stop asking questions.
All right, so are we going to go leave and don't come back until the early morning hours is Pennsylvania? The starve and silence her by removing her and hiding her teeth for a week is Kansas, and then Louisiana is where you throw her on a stove.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we are correct. 3, 2, 1. Kansas is hot stove.
Fuck.
Pennsylvania is hide her dentures.
God.
And Louisiana's just leave.
Damn it.
Hide her dentures until she dies or someone files a missing persons. Holy shit.
That's insane.
I read some pretty awful shit this week. This is the one that literally made my jaw drop. Something about the cutesy framing of it, like a fun story of diversity in America, was just so fucking upsetting. That's all I got on this one. Sorry to lob a pile of shit at you. Call me an unruly writer, I guess. Next one will be lighter, maybe. Well.
Wow, dude, we went. That one feels really bad. We didn't even get one of them.
We didn't even get one.
Like, even God, the one we both agreed on, Kansas. Not even close. Like.
Not even close. So Kansas is the stove. So they're the mega abusers. Pennsylvania is the torturers.
Mega, look. They cracked a joke.
Listen.
Lighthearted.
Everybody knows that as long as you throw a joke out there, abuse doesn't count.
Look, it's not like we made them worry all night as we were missing.
I guarantee you in the scene where Ross throws the chick over the thing, over the boat after he got served, he says a one-liner. I guarantee it. She gives him paper. You've just been served. He's like, I'll serve you. And he throws her over.
Yeah.
And then he jumps in the water and he's like, my God, you're so buoyant and hot. Shit. Oh, fuck. All right. Well, you ready for fact number 5 and round this up?
Oh boy, I hope so.
Okay, here we go. The year is 1907.
Okay.
This is multiple locations from multiple newspapers. The subject is on Chihuahua dogs.
Chihuahuas.
So here it is. Chihuahua dogs are very common in Mexico 25 years ago, but are now going extinct, perishing from the earth. True ones are now very rare and can cost between $100 and $200. Which of the following is a real description of a Chihuahua dog found in newspapers? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a small animal with patchy hair that resembles a dog, likely a cross between a prairie dog and a jackrabbit, extremely destructive, and can shred a sombrero in under a minute? Is it B, affectionate, small dog with a disproportionately large head, bulging eyes, and a hole in the skull where you can feel its unintelligent brain throbbing beneath the skin? Or C, good to eat, really good to eat. Roasted and on a platter, this creature is indistinguishable in appearance and quality from a roast suckling pig.
Oh boy.
I'm feeling A, or maybe all three.
I'm feeling A because that one leans the most racist.
Yeah, it does. I say, I have seen a chihuahua rip up a sombrero in under a minute.
Some lesser life form, I would say, crossbreed between a jackrabbit and a prairie dog.
You know,
Mexico.
Yes, Mexico carries the craziest animals. I once saw a jackrabbit hunting a prairie dog and out popped a little chihuahua. I heard down there they also have something called a goat sucker or a chupacabra, if you will.
Yep.
John Stewart saying all this shit just makes it way funnier. Fucking A. So, yeah. You always lean to the racism on history, right?
I'm going to go with that one. Yeah. Like, because you know, it's like, what, you know, they somehow woke in, like, siestas into that sentence later. That's how that's how the Chihuahuas got the sombreros.
I've heard so many reports after somebody gets their siesta in to wake up to have their Chihuahua eating their sombreros.
Look, if they just worked all day, they'd still have their sombrero.
What I tell them is swaddle them in their serapes, okay? And then take a siesta. And then when you awake, make sure to hide your sombrero and eat your bean burritos.
1907.
We're a progressive newspaper. 1907. Look. Maybe they could see the Chihuahuas if they didn't have such big mustaches.
Another Chihuahua like attacked over screams of Andale.
If they weren't playing their mariachi music so loud, they would have heard the Chihuahuas yelping.
Wild packs of prairie dog crossbreeds.
They're roaming the land eating sombrero. There is a sombrero pandemic going on right now. Sombreros are almost extinct.
Maybe if they didn't make everything out of corn, it wouldn't be so tasty to eat.
See, the main problem is that the Chihuahua goes really well when you put it in a burrito. That's why it's almost extinct.
If you can get past the patches of hair, quite the enchilada plate.
We call it a quesadoggy, if you will. It's a delicacy.
Don't you,
in
don't
Mexico.
You mean a canine asada?
I'll have a cheddar tequila with that canine asada, please.
What's the drink they have with it?
Horchata. Oh, don't forget to put a little horchata in there as well. Thank you, my good man. I'll have the burrito with the Chihuahua meat, please. Mm-hmm. Gracias, senor.
I think I shall go with the Chihuahua Fajita.
How do you say burrito in Mexican, please?
Burrito.
Yes, that's how I want to pronounce it. Burrito. How do I say that?
Burrito?
I'm going to Mexico in about a week, and I don't want to sound like a fool asking for it in English.
Si. Burrito.
Si, burrito. That's weird. I'll have a si burrito, please.
This is Houston. It's part of America now.
All right, so I'm thinking A.
Yeah.
Or all three, dude. Okay. Multiple papers could be all three.
Right. Yeah. We've got conflicting reports.
One newspaper says they eat your sombreros. Another newspaper says they're good to eat. Hence, sombreros are delicious.
Turns out, I've been wearing mine as a hat.
I didn't know that the sombrero meat was delectable.
Turns out I should have been putting a tiny dog in this thing the whole time.
No wonder why they put all the cheese in the brim. Break it off. It's delicious.
Oh, shit. All right, you want to go see?
See.
Hello. I see what you did there. Okay, for fact number five, or not C, I'm sorry, A. C is the eat one.
Oh, C.
So let's go A. A small animal with patchy hair resembles a dog, likely a cross prairie dog and jackrabbit, extremely destructive, can shred a sombrero under a minute. Sound good?
Let's see.
All right, 3, 2, 1, bam. Oh, it's all of them is real.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny as fucking shit. fuck these newspapers. I want to see the newspaper that was like, okay, you guys, Chihuahua is not just edible, it's delicious.
It looks just like a tiny pig.
Look, I had a tiny roasted succulent pig not too long ago. It tastes identical. God, what the
Everyone says it tastes like chicken, but in Mexico, they say it tastes like Chihuahua.
They call it Pollo Chihuahua. It's delectable. As I traveled through the maze that is Mexico, the wild people out there ate their dogs. So I partook in the custom and it was fantastic.
I gotta say. As I traveled Towno to El Towno. Nothing was more delectable than those tiny bug-eyed bastards.
You know how they catch them? They put a net out, and in the middle they put a sombrero.
Those little bastards can't stay away from sombreros.
They just run in and start tearing it up, and now you can feed the whole village.
You know what they call them? Crab of the desert. Just put out little baskets with sombreros in them and just wait for them to come.
The crab of the desert. A newspaper, we're not even being hyperbolic. A newspaper said they were delicious.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's real shit in 1907. Like, yeah, I can understand eating out of necessity, but somebody was just like, they looked at him and was like, let's cook it up.
Delicious.
Delicious. Shit. All right, dude, you ready for the bonus?
Oh, fuck, there's a bonus? Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Optional bonus, Final Jeopardy style. Decide in advance how many of your current points you want to wager.
Oh,
if you have 0 points, then unfortunately, peanut butter. Which is peanut butter. On the following question. All right. Should we wager something before I even read it? Yeah. This is Final Jeopardy style.
So you want to go all 3 points?
Do we have? Yeah. Let's do it.
If we want all or nothing. All or nothing, dude. True double Jeopardy, Mara.
True Double Jeopardy. Are you ready?
I hope so.
All right. In which century was the following reported? And this is lately paraphrased. Why would anyone ever hire a woman to advise on matters of politics? All they ever do is spread gossip and speak ill of men. They are no better than pimps. These pimp ladies give real women a bad name.
That was Ben Shapiro.
That was, yeah, that's week. Fucking 21st century.
He was talking about Hillary Clinton.
Women in politics. Pimp women, if you will.
Pimp. See, okay, yeah, so like the word pimp to me means at least the 20th century. Because I think that's a slightly more modern term.
I saw Wild Wild West, and
okay.
I believe that was the end of the 1890s, and Bloodbath McGrath called somebody a pimp. So I think it's a term that happened in the 1800s. Don't you remember? He's like, you sure are a pimp. It was the guy that played Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Historically, the historical document Wild Wild West.
You're gonna feel so fucking dumb.
If it was the 1800s. You know what? Let's go with it. Let's go with the 1800s.
I don't know though, because the writer just said what century.
Bloodbath McGrath.
Fine, you ready for this? We're going 18th century. You wanna do it? You wanna fucking dance? Or sorry, 1800s. Yeah, 1800s, 19th century. Yep. You want to fucking dance, Joe?
Let's do it.
You want to fucking dance?
Let's fucking. I put on my fucking dancing shoes.
Okay. If I get this right, from now on, I'm allowed to take guesses based on cinema knowledge.
Hey, I would like to say I've
based all my guesses in actuality, but I'm going to say most of them is based off of cinema.
Let's see how accurate Wild Wild West is.
Fuck it. Let's spice up our lives.
All right, here we go.
If it was goddamn Ben Shapiro.
I know. I'm nervous, and we'll get zero. We're not going to get any points this week.
Fuck it, dude. This might be our first zero.
Dude, no. I don't want to flip it now.
No. Let's do it. Fuck it. Oh, I'm sure it's Bloodbath McGrath in the Baltimore
Gazette. I'm banking our first zero off of Wild Wild West.
To be fair, that was Will Smith's first zero, so.
Oh, man, I love Wild Wild West. I loved it so much, I memorized the song. Okay, we can all admit the song's a banger, right?
Fucking Jim West, Desperado? You want some? No, you don't want Nado. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. All right, here we go. Fuck. This is fucked up. All right, we're going to go the 19th century or 1800s. 3, 2, 1. Bam. No, fuck, it was tweeted today.
God damn it.
God damn it. We started on the 21st century. We knew it.
We knew it. You just had to bring up Bloodbath McGrath.
I couldn't help it. So it says it was tweeted today, September 23rd, 2023, by Trump's former trade advisor, Peter Navarro, recently convicted on contempt of Congress charges and bested by a height-advantaged protester with a poster. Take a bonus point if you guess the date exactly. So here it says, yep, his actual tweet said, "Why would White House men, Prez, VP, senior aide, ever hire a woman after watching book pimps Cassidy Hutchison, Alyssa Ferre, Stephanie Grisham, Kaylee McEnemy, Olivia Troh throw mud at real Donald Trump at Rudy Giuliani, ETAL, pimp ladies be giving real MAGA women bad names?"
I would hire people solely based off of throwing mud at those two people.
I'm like, oh, you're taking swings at Trump? You're hired.
What's your political experience? Oh, you threw mud at him once? Hired. You're already better than half the Senate.
Oh, you're the person that threw the paper towel back at him after he threw it to you? Yeah, you're hired.
You're hired. What are your thoughts on the movie Wild Wild West?
Here's the thing, you hire women, worst case scenario, you can throw them on a hot stove.
Look.
Right?
You get a bunch of blondes, you go down in a plane, use them as a life preserver.
Yeah. Why do you think all the stewardesses are blondes? You can use them as life preservers.
They hide a blonde under each seat you can pull out in case of a plane crash.
In case of emergency, grab the nearest blonde. She does not sink.
Right.
Fun fact, they actually put blondes under the wings. They're so airheaded, they're lighter than air. They will float the plane if gathered enough. Yeah. There you go. Well, we fucked up. Zero. Zero for this week. I don't have anything to say.
Well,
Wiki Wild. Wiki Wild. Wiki Wild West. West. Oh, I guess I'll just close out in shame.
Yeah. And there you have it. That was this week's Allegedly podcast that now, unfortunately, shares more in common with Wild Wild West than I ever wanted it to. If you'd like to come back and watch our redemption week next week, find us wherever you find your fine podcasting. And while you're at it, follow us on all the socials at Allegedly and email us at allegedly.podcast@gmail.com. And until next time.
Too many outlaws trying to draw, thinking they're bad, but they're drawing with the West's best, with a pen and a pad. Don't you forget about it. 6 gun weighing a ton. 6 paces turned just for fun. Oh.